Hey everybody, this is Kevin Bupp, and I want to welcome you back to another episode of the Real Estate Investing for Cashflow podcast. And today you've got just me, you've got me solo. I'm going to be diving into a topic that, you know, we've very quietly but very intentionally have become experts in over the last couple of years, and that's parking investments. And so I'm sure if you drive a vehicle, you more than likely have parked in one of these, whether it be a parking garage or a surface parking lot. You know, they're all the same. They all facilitate and support vehicles. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, investing in parking lots and parking garages, and also what we like to call as cash flowing covered land plays. And so we're going to talk about the details of these investments. We're going to break down why we love this asset class, why it really fits our investment thesis so well, and you know, why we believe that this asset class is positioned for multiple decades of prosperity, and you know, why I feel it's still one of the most overlooked niches in commercial real estate. You know, so many times though I get on a podcast where I'm going to be interviewed, and the host simply states, I've never met anyone, or I've never interviewed anyone, or I've never spoken with anyone that's owned a parking investment. That rings true. I felt the same way when I ran across this asset class, you know, roughly 8 years ago. And so I felt the same way. That's what was intriguing to me, is that I'd never considered this investment vehicle. So we started digging in, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, dug deep for a couple of years studying the asset class. And ultimately bought our first parking investment back in 2020, have since bought about $100 million of parking investments over the last 5 years. And it's been a great run. They've been incredible, incredible investments. They perform, you know, very well. We've been able to add value in phenomenal markets across the country. You know, some of the largest markets, some of the fastest growing markets in the country, Phoenix being one, Charlotte being one, Philadelphia, just to name a few. And so we're going to break down this investment opportunity with you today, and just share, you know, again, some of the reasons why we love this investment type or this investment vehicle. And so at Sunrise Capital Investors, which is my investment firm, you know, our entire philosophy has always been centered around acquiring stable, durable cash flowing assets inside of markets where supply is limited and demand is consistent and is going to remain consistent for many, many years to come. And so, you know, parking really checks every single one of those boxes. And, you know, I'll run through a couple that what I feel are the top reasons. There's, you know, a whole list of reasons why we love this investment vehicle, but I'll run through maybe the top three here. And so, you know, one of the big ones is, and this is one of the reasons why we got attracted to mobile home parks, you know, roughly 15 years ago, is fragmented ownership. And so most parking investments are still owned by either mom and pops, you know, families that have owned them for many, many decades, or legacy operators. And this could also mean larger professional groups, you know, sometimes even institutional groups, but they've owned them for very long periods of time. And what we found is that when they're owned by either mom and pops or legacy operators, over the years, their operations become quite inefficient and antiquated. You know, technology has come a long way over the last 10 years. And so we find that is a great opportunity for us to go in and not just reevaluate the pricing structure of a parking investment, but introduce technology, create a more efficient operational structure, adjust pricing, install dynamic pricing schedules that basically fluctuate with supply demand balances in that marketplace. And so we love when we find that there's a mom and pop operator or a legacy operator that's owned an asset for a very long period of time, because we know that more than likely there's quite a bit of upside opportunity there. One of the second reasons why we love this asset class is the scarcity of supply that exists. And so urban core locations where we own most of our parking investments, they're not adding more parking. In fact, many cities are actually constraining it. Very recently, this is like one of many cities, but Denver was one of the more recent ones where they basically removed parking minimum requirements from new developments. And so what that means is that, you know, historically, when a new development, you know, whether it be a multi-use or a mixed-use property, a condo development, multifamily property, retail, you know, you need office building, you name it, typically, you know, most building code would require that a developer install X amount of parking spaces per every 1,000 square feet. There was typically a formula that would require that they install or build new parking, whether it's needed or not, whether the developer thinks he needs the parking or not, the municipality would require that they build parking. And so what we've realized and what municipalities have realized over the last couple of decades is that a lot of cities had an oversupply of parking, and it wasn't really being put to use, right? It wasn't the best for the tax basis. It wasn't the most effective at solving the housing crisis. And so what a lot of major cities have done now over the last couple of decades, they've removed those parking minimum requirements. And so now what you're finding is a shrinking supply of parking, because if a developer is not required and doesn't need to build parking, they're only going to build the minimum that's necessary, that they feel is necessary for the product that they're erecting on the ground. And a lot of these new developments are actually essentially taking place where a surface parking lot might have been. And so they're eliminating the parking that was there, that was being offered by the surface parking lot, building their, their tower structure, whatever purpose it's going to serve. And they're only putting in the absolute minimum parking required. And so what that means is there's a shrinking parking supply in a lot of the major markets across the country, all the markets that we own parking in, there's a shrinking supply. And so we know that if we buy our parking investments in the best location within those marketplaces, that there's going to be continued demand, not just today, but for many, many years to come. And then, the last one here that I'll hit on of why we love this investment vehicle is the variety of demand drivers that exist. The folks that are actually parking in our facilities that are, paying to park their vehicles. And so we look for a variety of demand drivers. And these demand drivers they're essential infrastructure. They're not going away anytime soon. So these are entertainment districts. These are downtown cores where there's, corporations, people that are working. There's courthouses, there's medical facilities, there's sports entertainment facilities, professional sports arenas, music venues, tourism hubs, all these things, they're not going away. And typically when we look for a parking deal, we want to know that we have at least a variety of five different and unique demand drivers, so that if one of them happened to go away, so let's say that we've got five demand drivers, and let's say one of them is a hotel to where we're getting a lot of their parking and their valet traffic. Let's say that hotel shuts down, goes out of business. Well, guess what? That's unfortunate. Something will backfill that space at some point in time. But until then, I've got four other strong demand drivers that are going to make up for it. And so I'm never relying upon one unique demand driver to support my investment thesis. I'm not putting all my eggs in that one basket. And so we're always looking for a variety of at least five demand drivers in a marketplace. And so, so the beautiful thing about parking is that it really provides a combination of, again, what we look for, and that's in-place income today. So everything that we're purchasing is cash flowing from day one. But it also offers what we feel is equally, if not more important, is long-term durability and optionality and what we can do with that parking investment. And so that really carries me over to the next reason why we love this investment thesis. And that's what we call the cash flow covered land play. And so one of the most compelling parts of the parking business is the location, right? We all know about location, location, location. And so we buy in the best location, the best markets, and we know that the piece of real estate that it sits on is irreplaceable. And so we look at that as a cash flow covered land play. And so, you're essentially owning a highly valuable piece of urban dirt. Again, we're buying these parking assets in prime cities, the fastest growing cities in the country. These locations are in some of the most sought out after locations within that respective city. And that dirt that these parking facilities sit on just happens to be, it just happens to have parking revenue. That's a revenue stream that's sitting on top of it. Okay. So basically you've got this invaluable piece of dirt, but we've got cash flow coming in. Whereas, the alternative would be you've got this valuable piece of dirt. So location's everything. You've got a piece of dirt. They're not making any more dirt, but there's carrying costs associated with that. And so while it might be a development play many years down the road, it might have a higher and better use. You're not collecting any income if it's just dirt. And so we're looking for the best located piece of land that actually has a parking use on top of it. And so we can essentially cover all the carrying costs and then some. Like I said, these things are producing great cash flows, great returns. And so we can basically ride off into the sunset and let these things produce amazing cash flow for many, many decades to come, knowing that whenever the time comes, whenever there might be a higher and better use for this piece of dirt, whether it be, again, a redevelopment play or something along those lines, we know that we can cash flow until that point in time comes, and that the icing on the cake will be a future development play. And so we're not underwriting the future development opportunity. We know that it exists. We're underwriting the cash flow that's in place today. And so, we're not waiting on, like 10 years for a zoning change or a redevelopment window to take place. We're getting that cash flow today. And it's all while we're holding what we consider to be irreplaceable land in some of the best markets in the country. And so I'd love to maybe take a few minutes to unpack of why, why this asset class is still somewhat under the radar, right? Like this is something I kind of stumbled upon 7 or 8 years ago. And it's, again, every time I get interviewed on a podcast, the host is always, they always make a statement. It never hasn't happened to where you're the first person I've spoken with that owns parking investments or that could speak to parking investments in the asset class. And I felt the same way when I ran across it a number of years back. And so I personally feel that parking is still at minimum 10 years behind where mobile home parks are in the consolidation cycle. You know, 15 years ago when we started buying mobile home parks, no one really had an interest in them. You know, they were like the ugly redhead stepchild. You know, they were very hard to get financed. There wasn't a lot of competition buying the assets. And we got in, and, you know, when the asset class was really unknown to the masses, and we did absolutely phenomenal in the first, you know, 5 to 7 years that we're buying the investment. Now everyone and their brother owns mobile home parks. There's a lots of institutional capital and private equity that's in the space. So it's definitely no longer a secret. But 15 years ago, it really was a secret. I mean, if you knew, you knew. If you didn't, you didn't. That's not the case. But with parking, I feel that is still the case. I do believe that parking is at least 10 years, if not longer, behind mobile home parks in the consolidation cycle. And so, you know, most investors don't look at parking. You know, case in point of every time I get interviewed on a show, parking is never an investment type that they had considered. And a lot of the reasons is that they don't understand it. A lot of investors, they just don't understand it. They don't know how to underwrite it. And they don't know how to operate it. And so, you know, the lack of sophistication that has kept institutions and large private equity groups on the sidelines, which for disciplined operators like us really creates this opportunity. It's low competition, more realistic valuation. So we can buy these assets in phenomenal markets at realistic cap rates, you know, where you're looking at multifamily today that even with higher interest rates, you know, multifamily's trading in the, you know, the 5% cap rate range. Mobile home parks still trade sub 5% cap rates. You know, it's ridiculous, but we can buy these parking investments with positive leverage in some of the best cities within the country. So, you know, ultimately, they provide better return profiles and just really an opportunity for us to get into an asset class that is not yet consolidated and own real estate in some of the hottest markets within the country. And so, you know, I'd love to maybe switch gears here a little bit, maybe go through some of the biggest misconceptions about parking. The primary one is that it's a simple investment. It's simple. It's simple to understand. You know, a lot of investors that start going down this path, or even when I'm being interviewed on a podcast, you know, one of the common themes, or I guess assumptions, is that parking is a simple investment. You know, car pulls in, they pay, and the car exits, right? Simple as that. Black and white. That's only true from the outside looking in. And I felt the same way when I started looking at this investment type, you know, many years back. I thought the same thing. You know, how complex can it be? We've all parked in a parking garage before. And so we've seen that side of the table to where we basically pull in. Either we pay when we pull in, or we grab a ticket. And then we essentially, you know, use that ticket at the end to exit the garage or exit the parking lot, you know, after we make a payment with cash to an attendant or pay with a credit card to a machine. It is so much more complex than that. And once you're inside this business, you'll quickly realize that parking is probably one of the most dynamic and operationally complex asset classes that I've ever personally invested in. And I've owned just about every type of investment: mobile home parks, multifamily, self-storage, assisted living, industrial, retail, office. I've owned it all over the last 24 years of me being a full-time real estate investor. The complexities of parking it's actually one of the reasons why we love this space. So let me unpack that a little bit. Again, over the last 7 years that we've been really taking a deep dive in the space, we actually spent 3 full years studying this parking industry before we ever bought our first parking investment. We analyzed operators in the space, you know, the management companies. We shadowed a multitude of industry experts that we felt were best in class. We studied the various demand drivers, understanding, you know, kind of how they operate, you know, how they operate and provide demand and support one another in these various markets. We learned about the pricing systems in place and dynamic pricing and you know, how the technology was changing things in that arena. And we really immersed ourselves in what makes these assets tick and what makes them a great investment opportunity. Here's what I came up with of what most people miss. And even, again, what I missed in the very beginning of just thinking it was a super simple investment. You know, where cars pull in, they pay, and then they leave, right? You know, parking has dynamic pricing, as I'd mentioned. And so what that means is that rates can change based on a litany of factors, you know, the time of day, the day of the week, event schedules, what's happening in the local marketplace, transient traffic versus monthly traffic. So transient would be, you know, people coming and going, maybe just making a visit one time, where monthly is, you know, maybe they work at a local office building, they work at the courthouse, and they need monthly parking, right? So two different types there. You've got supply constraints, you've got real-time occupancy. So this isn't a static business. The best way to put it is probably revenue management in the airline or maybe even the hotel world, right? Just lots of moving parts, lots of dynamic changes happening hour by hour, day by day, month by month, year by year. You must understand these demand drivers and you must understand them intimately. And you have to have a good handle on where, you know, not just what the demand drivers are, but ultimately what's the root source. And so, you know, you've got a variety of these things. You've got commuters, as I'd mentioned, you've got courthouses, sports venues, hospitals, universities, you have tourism, entertainment districts. And the biggest question when it comes to these demand drivers is, are those demand drivers stable for the next 10, 20, 30 years, maybe even longer than that, right? The local dynamics really do matter. And so, you know, market by market, each market's unique in and of itself. You've got traffic disruptions that take place due to construction projects. You've got new developments. You've got zoning shifts. You've got office patterns. Let's talk about office for a second, right? I mean, I would say that there's more parking deals that we look at and that we pass on, and they're in great markets, great cities. One would argue a phenomenal location. But one of the things that I don't fully believe in here over the next decade or two is that the office trends will return to what they were, you'll call it 10 years ago. You know, I don't believe that office buildings will, you know, in certain markets will return to 100% occupancy. I do believe that there might be a higher and better use. And so it's some type of redevelopment play with a lot of office buildings. But, you know, we look at a lot of parking garages that historically had a lot of demand coming from office. And well, office is dead in a lot of markets. And so you got to understand the dynamics in the local marketplace. And so I'm not a firm believer in office and the longevity of it as it had traditionally existed. And so, again, there might be another use for some of these office buildings. I know that's already the case, but I have a hard time hanging my hat on that demand driver. And so understanding the local dynamics, it really does matter. And you've also got, you know, the transient initiatives, like, you know, are folks, you know, is it a city that's got great public transportation to where there really is a risk, not just of autonomous vehicles, which is the, you know, the talk of the day, and self-driving vehicles, but also the public transportation. There's actually some cities within the U.S. that have phenomenal public transportation. They've got great infrastructure in place. The majority don't, but it's something to take in consideration. Is it a city that we feel in the next 10 years will have less cars driving to the city than that of more? And so a lot of the markets I was speaking to that we own in, Phoenix, Charlotte, Philadelphia, another one's Boston. These are very much still driving cities. We don't necessarily see a major disruption as a result of the public transportation, the public infrastructure, supporting folks commuting in and out of the city. It's a complex business. And the beautiful thing is that the complexity of this industry really becomes some of a competitive moat for those that are willing to put the work in. Again, we are willing to put the work in. We studied it for multiple years before we bought. And so if you're someone that's willing to study the investment thesis, understand the dynamic complexities of the various markets and just the parking sector in general, then I promise you, you can do incredibly well in this asset class. So moving on here, we'd love to really kind of run through what I feel are the fundamentals, the investment fundamentals of this asset class. And again, why parking really is a very compelling story and one that we believe in, not just today, but for many, many years to come. Again, big one, immediate cash flow. Everything that we're buying is producing cash flow day one. You're not waiting on, you know, lease up or heavy construction or anything like that. Again, I love cash flowing. I mean, real estate investing for cash flow. That's the name of this podcast, guys. So I love cash flow. I love being able to buy deals. And it's very difficult today. It's very difficult today to buy multifamily and buy even mobile home parks that cash flow day one. There's it's such a hyper competitive space. And the cap rates are so compressed, at least in great markets, where it's very difficult to go and buy something that's cash flowing from day one. Now, I understand it might be a value add. You might have a massive loss of lease recapture, and you might be able to get it to cash flow, you know, within a year mark or 2 year mark. But it's very difficult to start cash flowing or see cash flow from day one. Prove me wrong there. One of the other things that we love about parking is the long term stability. Again, you know, parking really behaves, in my mind, it behaves more like critical infrastructure than that of traditional real estate. Again, people need to move. They need to commute. They need to visit locations. They need to explore. And that always requires somewhere to park. Even when there's self-driving vehicles, even when there's autonomous vehicles, guess what? Those vehicles are still going to need somewhere to park and to stage. So when that world comes, even Waymo, like I can tell you that we've had multiple conversations with Waymo and some of the cities we're looking at parking investments in. And Waymo, they need staging centers for their vehicles, right? And so while these are self-driving vehicles, they still need somewhere to go. They take up space. They need somewhere to stage and to charge until they're ready to go back out on the road again. Another thing that we love about parking is the inflation-aligned revenue. And so, you know, rates can ultimately be adjusted frequently. They can be adjusted every minute if we so choose. And so in high-demand markets, you know, that pricing power is real. Whereas in a multifamily investment, you're talking on an annual basis, you know, you can adjust rents. If you're talking about like office and retail, it might be 5 and 10 years, you know, terms that you're locked in on leases. And so pricing power in parking is real. I mean, literally, not even minutes, it could be seconds, you can make adjustments to the parking pricing on any respective asset, you know, based on the technology that exists today. You know, parking garages also have tax efficiency. So we have the ability to depreciate these structured facilities, even the service parking lots, and really enhance after-tax returns. And then I think the last one, and this is, I don't know why I left this one for last, because it probably is one of the top ones, and maybe, or maybe second to that of cash flow. Parking, there's such a limited new supply of parking coming to the marketplace. I mentioned earlier on this podcast as to why that is. A lot of major cities across the country have removed parking minimum requirements. A lot of historic parking locations are being redeveloped into higher and better uses. You know, again, mixed use properties, office, condo, retail, you name it, they're being redeveloped into other uses. And so there's limited new supply. So very few cities are actually adding any new parking at all. In fact, again, as I mentioned, many cases they're restricting it. They're limiting it, restricting it. And that really pushes the value of all these existing stock. And so we're looking to grab onto this stuff and hold on to it for many, many years, knowing that we've got the best location in the marketplace. Again, location, 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 location always wins. And if I know that I've got the best piece of real estate, the best piece of underlying dirt in one of the in a fast growing city in the US, it's very difficult to lose. And on top of that, we've got cash flow coming in to support and to carry the covering cost. It really is a beautiful marriage. And now moving on here, I would love to share just a couple examples of some recent parking investments we made. I'm not a guy that loves this. You know, speaking about things theoretically, I want to give you some real case studies. I do well when I hear real world examples of how, not just what somebody's doing, but how they're doing it. And then an example of actually seeing their business model or business plan be executed. And so one of the most recent parking investments that we made was the Boris Parking Garage, B-O-U-R-S-E, Boris Parking Garage in Old Town, Philadelphia. Old Town, Philadelphia, you know, it's not going anywhere. It gets millions upon millions of tourists every year. Our parking facility is located a block away from the Liberty Bell, two blocks from Independence Hall. It's sandwiched basically in between two of the only five-star luxury hotels in Old Town. Both those hotels have zero parking, so they have to use our parking garage. There's quite a bit of office demand in that local marketplace. There's lots of retail. There's folks that live in Old Town that have no parking. On-street parking is very limited. And as I'd mentioned, tens of millions of people visit Old Town, Philadelphia to visit the historic sites on an annual basis. In fact, this garage, about 70% of the traffic is transient traffic. So tourists coming in and visiting the local marketplace, looking for a safe, clean place to park their vehicle. Our parking garage is it. You cannot build another parking facility in this part of Old Town, Philadelphia. And so essentially there's no new supply coming on the marketplace. And there's little to no land available to ever erect a structure like this again. And so we've got this moat surrounding this parking facility, knowing that demand is here today, but demand will continue to come for many, many years down the road. Now, this parking facility was actually owned by an institutional group. What we found is that they really took their hand off the, you know, off this asset for the last 5 or 6 years. They did a poor job of actually managing the pricing. They didn't really keep up with the marketplace. They didn't install new technology that allowed them to adjust pricing on the fly. They really didn't maximize the parking layout of the garage. So we were able to squeak out another few spaces that added additional revenue. And they also didn't leverage the local hotels to maintain the ongoing relationships, but establish new relationships with other surrounding hotels that were in need of parking. And so we have found multiple different ways, multiple different levers that we could pull to drive revenue in that garage. And so we bought that garage at roughly a 7 cap, which is unheard of in a primary market like Philadelphia. Based on our business plan and based on what this is going to look like within 18 months of ownership, we're about a year into it now. we'll be somewhere around an 8% stabilized yield on cost in this asset. So this is a core asset and a core market, and we're going to be looking at an 8% yield on cost on this investment, which again is unheard of in a core type investment. Another deal that we closed about a year ago as well was the Spectrum Garage in Uptown Charlotte. The Spectrum Garage is essentially a stone's throw away from the Spectrum Center where the Charlotte Hornets play. The Charlotte Hornets have signed a brand new lease. They're going to be there for many more decades to come. They're doing a $500 million renovation to the Spectrum facility. Now they're halfway through that. In addition to that, we get a lot of overflow demand from the Bank of America headquarters, the Truist headquarters, and a litany of other businesses in downtown, you know, including the Spectrum Center, hotels in the local marketplace, restaurants. And we bought that garage at a very attractive basis as well. We essentially bought it out of receivership. It was tied to an office building and a hotel. All three of the assets were on one parcel ID. The office had essentially brought that loan into default. And so we were able to buy the garage and then find buyers for the office and the hotel. And we separated out the garage and we got it at an incredibly attractive basis. Paid about $31 million for it a year ago. Today, the valuation is somewhere in the realm of $44 million. Cash flowing from day one, incredible cash on cash returns for our investor base in a phenomenal location within the marketplace, and an asset that is durable today and will be durable for many, many decades to come. It's an asset class with strong cash flow day one. It sits on top of irreplaceable real estate. You can't beat that. Everyone, again, knows the old adage of location, location, location. You know, we've got a multitude of strong demand drivers, a lot of which are permanent, you know, that aren't going anywhere anytime soon. There's limited new supply that's coming to these multiple cities that we own in. There's very low institutional competition. There's very high operational complexity. Again, that acts as a moat. So there's a barrier to entry that exists given the complexity of operations of these parking investments. And again, we feel as though there's decades of runway ahead of us as consolidation continues in this asset class. And so, you know, this is exactly the kind of niche that, you know, that disciplined and patient long-term investors should be looking at. Again, we spent nearly a decade building specialized expertise in this space because we do believe that it represents one of the most compelling risk-adjusted opportunities in commercial real estate today. And so again, parking, it's misunderstood, it's overlooked, and simply put, that's why we love it. So guys, that's all I have. Rant over. We love parking. Now you know why we love parking. We've got quite a bit of resources on our website, sunrisecapitalinvestors.com. If you want to learn a little bit more about parking investments, we've got investment opportunities in our existing fund where you can basically partner with us on upcoming parking opportunities. In fact, we've got one under contract now that we're closing. Literally, it'll probably be closed by the time this podcast comes out. It's in Boston, which... it's very difficult to buy anything that cash flows in Boston. And I can promise you that this is just a phenomenal asset, irreplaceable asset that they don't come along all that often, especially in a city like Boston. So that will probably be closed in our current fund, SEI Growth and Income Fund 5, by the time you hear this podcast. But that doesn't mean that the opportunity to partner with us on that Boston investment goes away. That investment fund will be open here for the next number of quarters. And you're more than welcome to read our PPM, get the offering docs on it, get the the pitch deck, read a little bit more about it, learn about parking, learn about this Boston investment, the other mobile home parks that we own in that respective fund, and learn about the opportunity of actually working together with myself, my business partner, Brian Spear, and the rest of our team at Sunrise Capital Investors. So with that, guys, I appreciate you tuning in. This is Kevin Bupp, and I'll catch you next time on the Real Estate Investing for Cashflow podcast. Take care now.